Lake Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, Sports Director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include violence in the home, parents separating, and any kind of abuse. Scientists are learning that these events can be connected to substance use disorders and even chronic illness or autoimmune problems. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Research shows these experiences, called ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry and produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist and member of Kentucky's Bounce Coalition, Joe Barjone.
We're seeing some of the same kinds of patterns, that increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Childhood trauma costs states. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. Barjone adds schools can help address the youth and mental health crisis by cultivating a sense of belonging and connectedness, as well as increasing suicide prevention programs.
Promoting mental health awareness, teaching kids around social emotional learning and dealing with their emotions in an effective way, increase mental health services.
The most recent data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is only from 2018 to 19, but it shows nearly 40% of Wisconsin kids had at least one adverse childhood experience. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators help kids in public school districts. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
The Packers get ready for Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers practice outdoors in some light rain as they head out to face the Bears at Soldier Field Sunday. Defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley was asked, why did linebacker Preston Smith ask to be traded out of Green Bay and is now with the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak of what happened behind closed doors, requesting a trade, not liking the system. I have a great relationship with Preston. I talked to him after immediately and, you know, I was happy to see him move on to a good place with a coach who I really respect. And I thought he did a really nice job. I think he's got a great opportunity now where he is. And that's really all I got for you.
College football, the Badgers host Oregon tomorrow night, kickoff at 6:30. High school football semifinals, the winners tonight, advance to the state title games next week at Camp Randall. Basketball, the Badgers men's team, home tonight against Arizona. The Bucks in Charlotte tomorrow night against the Hornets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The John and Gordy Show.
The clipping sound you heard was all of global allies cutting their cables that connect to the American intelligence network.
For the Republican Party to submit themselves to Vlad Putin is just, you must be able to see Ronald Reagan's corpse underneath his grave because it's just turned to clear glass because he's been spinning so fast and melted it.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
It's Friday, man. I was expecting to hear you say, I'm doing great. It's Friday. Are you losing your touch?
You know, I was just going to let you bring the excitement today. I'm always ready for the weekend.
He's kind of flat without effect. Calvin needs a lift.
Calvin, there was this song by the OJs called Living for the Weekend. Because that's when I party down. Is that what you do on the weekend? Do you party down?
I don't know about party down, but maybe relax.
So what do you got planned for the weekend?
Probably nothing too eventful. Yeah, there's a UFC fight this weekend. Maybe I'll watch that with some friends.
A bro.
Yeah,
well, a UFC bro.
Unfortunately.
Well, Calvin, you know, that sounds like, man, you know, young single guy.
I'm sort of a fan of UFC myself. And I had a guy tell me, you know, I don't like UFC. It's all fake. Now, he was getting WWE and UFC. Hey,
can I get you to hold on a second, sir, till I introduce you?
Well, go ahead, sure.
All right. If you don't know that voice by now, that's my co-host, the one and only Sandy Williams, who's here every Tuesday and every Friday. And he's my co-host. And Sandy, if I start talking about your credentials, there are people who may not know who Sandy Williams is. Who is Sandy Williams?
He's that goomer.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
But who is Sandy Williams?
Who am I? Yeah. Well, I'm an old guy that's been around for a long time. Practice law, and you give a retired lawyer a microphone, he'll want to talk.
You
into
didn't
it.
Just practice law. You practiced law on some of the highest levels. So,
well, yeah, yeah. I'm not one to talk about this.
I know, but you know, there are people who may just be joining us for the first time, and we've noticed we're getting new callers. They hear you. They don't know who Sandy Williams is. Who is Sandy Williams?
Well, I'm an ersatz economist. I went to college a long time ago, majored in economics, went to business school, law school, practiced law. I worked in government briefly in the early stage of my career. I was legal counsel to the Wisconsin governor. And I've sort of been immersed in public policy my whole life in terms of how I practice law and what I've been interested in. So I've had the opportunity to be with you for the last years talking about public policy of various kinds and business, and it's been great.
You know, Sandy, it's just having you around, your depth of knowledge on all these different things, you know, it's just it adds so much to what it is we're attempting to do. I'm always thankful to have you around and that we've been able to forge this kind of relationship and to do this over the airways that I think is kind of unmatched. You know, there are people who have, you know, guys on, you know, who may have some knowledge in certain areas. They're on for a short period of time and they're gone. We're talking about having, you know, you as a co-host and a couple times a week. And so people are learning a lot. And that's kind of what I've learned so much. And that's kind of what I envisioned from the first time you and I sat down and had a cup of
coffee. Yeah. I was the cream in your coffee.
Yeah. But Sandy, you know, before we get into all the different things that we're going to be getting into, we've got a chance to breathe. You know, the election is over. And before we get into all the other things, I want to hear your synopsis on Kamala Harris. She's off the scene now. She, you know, was basically a person, having been the vice president for those 4 years, early on, just an anonymous person. She was pushed to the side, and people didn't hear much from her. And she was reduced to a cackling female. But we saw the last...
Yeah, early on in the administration, she wasn't given much airtime, and she was gotten... People got to know her based on the fact that she laughed, you know,
right.
and got an image that I think wasn't an accurate portrayal of her. I thought in the campaign, I thought she ran a very able campaign. I thought, for instance,
before you get to the campaign, Donald Trump said low IQ, not very bright. Do you rise to the level of where she?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, that she again is proof that America apparently isn't ready to elect a woman president, and that was a burden that she carried her gender, which ends up being a disadvantage in American politics. I think her race as well. I think there were those who were readily willing to adopt the premise that she wasn't intelligent when there was no evidence to bear that out. You know, her performance in the debate was that of a very intelligent person. Her performance as attorney general, to get elected to California's attorney general position, is one that requires merit. You know, you don't get there by being an empty suit. So she had a history of competence. She was viewed as highly competent in the U.S. Senate. So I think the willingness of the American public to adopt that kind of a profile for her is proof that they were hiding from themselves maybe some of the real reason why they decided they didn't want to vote for her. And I think that real reason might have related to gender and race, you know. But again, I don't want to accuse the American people. I don't think people who do this even admit it to themselves. I just think the American public is, for some reason, not supportive of the notion of electing a woman president of the United States, and that includes women. I think that there is an aspect of American life, this individualism, in which male individualism is the epitome. We have this ever since de Tocqueville, the French philosopher historian, came to the United States in the early 1800s and identified individualism as a unique aspect of American culture. I think that it's true. And I think, in fact, I was realizing that individualism is borne out somewhat by our professional team mascots' names. So whereas in Europe, a soccer team tends to be known by a name like the Mannheim, okay? They have a name that is singular. In the United States, it's not the Chicago Bear, it's the Chicago Bears. It's not the Green Bay Packer, it's the Green Bay Packers. And anyone who plays for them says that they are a Bear or a Packer, okay? And that's different than sports in other countries or even some other sports in the United States. And it's because we recognize the individual more than the team. And we recognize a team as being comprised of a bunch of individuals rather than recognizing team first and then the individual. And I think that's part of the American culture. But I think this individualism deranks women.
So you're saying the glass ceiling still exists?
I think it does, yeah. I think it does. And I think the fact that we talk about it, I think the fact that is evidence that it's there. I think the fact that we keep measurements of it is further evidence that it's there.
So you've been in high-level areas in the business world. You saw bright women who were able, educated women who were able to hold their own. Are men afraid of those types of women? For what reason?
I think in the business world and in the professional world, this exists less than it does in the political world. And I think in the political world, at certain levels, it's advantageous to be a woman. As you get closer to the as the role and the job gets closer to the electorate, and it's more of an advantage than a disadvantage because women are more active in politics than men. But for some reason, what we project to the president and the role of the president seems to be one in which a woman is at a disadvantage.
So is it, in your opinion, the fact that women are apparently people may believe or men may believe that they are weak as opposed to a man being physically strong and he's mentally strong and the presidency of the United States requires a very strong person, a woman's going to show emotion and we can't have, I mean, is it that kind of craziness?
Well, it's that kind of craziness. I also think it's the role. I think women are ultimately viewed as being mothers. And
They're nurturers, but they can be more than that.
But I mean, and I don't mean just nurturing. I just mean the role they play. And it is true that in today's world, I saw a cartoon to this effect, but I think it's true. When the average American household now has both breadwinners, both parents are breadwinners. But it is true, I think, that the man expects to come home and be served dinner, and the woman is expected to come home and serve dinner, okay? I'm being a little bit apocryphal, but that was the nature of this cartoon, you know, and I think it might be truer than we think. And also the notion of paternal leave when people have children is different than the notion of maternal leave when a couple has children. And all of these differences are nuances, maybe, but I think when you get up to the level of president, it begins to have to create a flavor that has made America, unlike most of the other countries of the world, less willing to consider a woman as the top leader.
Me man, you woman. Exactly. I mean, the part of that is so crazy to me. Is like you stated, the other nations across the earth have had women in those powerful positions.
Some societies are more likely than others, okay? I think the Eastern European societies are probably less likely to have women. And I think that, however, Western European society, I don't think Japan is ready to have a woman in their culture. It is a cultural thing. And it might just be that we have to recognize that the American culture with this embedded individualism has a little ways to go. It's too bad. It's a sorry thing.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's first 100 days. And the impact that could possibly have on all of us as we, you know, kind of look deeply into what is about to transpire with Donald Trump's
set. Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Brittany Merlot. It's time for a little weather and wine.
If you're a weather nerd like me, I know, Jane, you are.
I like the
weather.
Do you
know what Cocoa Roz is?
What?
Cocoa Roz. C-O-C-O-R-A-H-S. Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. You can actually help us meteorologists. All you do is put a rain gauge outside, and this is how I tell you guys how much rain Wisconsin got.
That sounds so Cocoa Roz.
It's a Cocoa Roz kind of moment.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter freezes just like ice. And there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind that man. You just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, Trump's first 100 days, let me read a paragraph from Steve Bannon. The first 100 days of Donald Trump's second term as president will feature aggressive policies not seen in nearly a century since Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. Steve Bannon, Trump's former senior advisor, told Newsweek in an interview. An aggressive 100 days. We kind of see some of that right now with some of the people that he selected. You read Project 2025. We spent a solid week with you explaining what was coming.
Well, his appointments so far just lay credence to the notion that the people that he's appointing are inclined to be the people who will implement the elements of Project 2025 that relate to their departments. So, for instance, defense, okay? Creating this panel to get rid of and purge the Defense Department, the military, of generals who don't pass essentially a loyalty test. I mean, they don't call it a loyalty test, but that would be the nature, I think, that they want to drum out people who are woke, apparently. But I'm not sure what that means, and it's such an obscure term that I'm confident that it could well turn into a loyalty test. The notion that someone like Matt Gaetz would be head of the Department of Justice suggests very clearly he's taken on the FBI directly, as has the president. The two most alarming things in my mind about Project 2025 were, one, the FBI, what they want to do there, which is to take away the 10-year term of the FBI director and make him serve at the pleasure of the president, which would turn the FBI into a presidential police force, and to take the Department of Justice and make it fundamentally part of the White House, and to make the Department of Justice be responsive to the White House all the way down through the U.S. attorneys all around the country, which, again, is the implementation of a private policing process the Justice Department is the are the prosecutors for crimes. And so those decisions on who gets prosecuted get made by the White House. Fundamental to Project 2025 was creating a very big White House capability for the White House to micromanage all these different departments. And, of course, creating this Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, to be headed by two people outside the government, Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, is designed to take apart the government, to remove regulations, and to put the regulatory process into the very direct control of the president. The premise of Project 2025 is this sort of illiberal, what they call an illiberal democracy concept, which is the president is elected by the people. No one else in the executive arm is elected by the people. And so, therefore, we want to take the person who's elected by the people and put them in direct control of as many of the policies as possible that are to be carried out by the executive arm. And that hasn't been the way the government has worked for a long time. The government has worked that it has agencies that are relatively independent, that implement the laws passed by Congress through their own processes of rulemaking. And the president's office has not been explicitly, directly involved in all of the rules implemented at the level of the agencies. But that's what Project 2025 wants.
So his plan is to break the back of government as we know it.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, to me, we can talk about it. I can see some lemonade in the lemon here. And there are some good things that could fall out of this chaos and problems that are created. If he can break the back of K Street and turn the back of government on big pharma and the medical industry, turn the government's back on big corporate K Street influence, that would be good. The flip side of that is that he's doing it by having an open and notorious form of sort of corrupt influence, so that Elon Musk names his agency, his non-agency, it's not a government agency, so he supposedly doesn't have to honor conflict of interest regulations. He names it DOGE. DOGE is the name of the currency that he has been taking a big investment position in. Elon Musk, he has been touting for years. The Trump family has just started a business that's involved with cryptocurrency. Trump himself has announced his desire to make cryptocurrency a big thing. Now, when it becomes a big thing, who are going to profit from this? Well, it will be the Trump family, right, and Elon Musk, amongst other people. But, you know, so that's kind of open and notorious corruption, right? So apparently in the United States, if you do it openly and notoriously, even if it is fundamentally corrupt, it doesn't form the same kind of suspicion as dark money. This is bright money, okay? This is open money being spent. This is Donald Trump sitting with the oil industry telling him he'll do whatever they want him to do if they just put a couple of billion dollars into his campaign. So, or $1 billion, I think, was the number. Now, maybe he was going to do it anyway, and, you know, he can always argue, well, I was persuaded of the good public policy merits of all this. But that's kind of open and notorious. If that happens secretly, people could get their back up.
So is it safe to say, Sandy, that Donald Trump is going to be doing in, you know, broad daylight what unfortunately some others have done in the darkness?
Yeah, well, I think so, but he maybe is going to destroy the darkness, okay? And so then we can decide what we think about this broad daylight kind of stuff, and maybe we can get rid of that the next term, you know, with the next party and the next term in office. But, you know, turning our back on Big Pharma isn't a bad thing.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to continue talking about the first 100 days with Donald Trump on the Earl Ingram Show.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New CDC data shows 3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That can include violence in the home, parents separating, and any kind of abuse. Scientists are learning that these events can be connected to substance use disorders and even chronic illness or autoimmune problems. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Research shows these experiences, called ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry and produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist and member of Kentucky's Bounce Coalition, Joe Barjone.
We're seeing some of the same kinds of patterns, that increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. Childhood trauma costs states. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. Barjone adds schools can help address the youth and mental health crisis by cultivating a sense of belonging and connectedness, as well as increasing suicide prevention programs.
Promoting mental health awareness, teaching kids around social emotional learning and dealing with their emotions in an effective way, increase mental health services.
The most recent data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is only from 2018 to 19, but it shows nearly 40% of Wisconsin kids had at least one adverse childhood experience. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators help kids in public school districts. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba, who's up for a good old-fashioned boxing match. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson square off this weekend. Paul took to his social media platforms to troll Tyson by wearing diamond-spiked ear covers to get under the former champ's skin. The dig is from when Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear years ago. Not allowed in boxing. Paul is the odds-on favorite to win the fight. According to odds makers, Paul is the odds-on favorite due to the fact that Tyson hasn't fought in 19 years, has been near death due to illness more than once, and is more than twice Paul's age. Come on, Iron Mike. Sometimes people struggle after they retire. This appears to be the case for actress Cameron Diaz, who is ending her 11-year hiatus from show business. Diaz has been cast opposite Jamie Foxx in the Netflix spy movie called Back in Action, a comedy thriller. The duo previously starred together in the film Annie. Back in Action drops January 17th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
I went out to the car and I had to scrape ice off my window.
You're kidding.
Do you have a good ice scraper at least?
I have an excellent ice scraper and thank God it was in the car yet.
I had to use like my credit card to scrape my windshield.
Oh no.
You know what works great is a cassette.
You actually used a cassette to get the ice off your windows?
Yeah.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
I was back.
Well, I know what that means. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Fridays are my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. And Sandy, let's talk a little bit about the music, and then we're going to get into...
Well, the music is just basically that message. We will survive. You know, we can stand tall. It's all about that kind of process. Seeing the good with the bad.
We're talking about the first 100 days of Donald Trump, and you were talking about making lemonade out of the lemons that were going to be dealt. And so
just a couple of them. One of them I can see is if the grip, the dark money grip of K Street is broken, and if it, you know, the lemon side of it is that it appears that it will be broken by this open and notorious money in the daylight.
So, Sandy, I hate to interrupt you, but you keep using the term K Street. Many of the listeners don't know what that is.
K Street is the euphemism for the lobbying profession, the people who are lobbyists who are hired by private interests, corporations, whomever, to represent their interests of the gun lobby, to represent the interests of the automobile lobby, the gasoline lobby, all these private areas, the big pharma, you know. And then the other thing I can see the potential for is scaling back military expenditures to the extent that we're going to be less involved as the policemen in the world. If we're going to be less involved and have a somewhat more isolationist approach to foreign affairs, if that translates to spending less money on the military so we have money available to spend on the important programs, that would be good. Now, I don't see any likelihood that the important program side of that is going to happen. But I do see the potential that the MAGA outlook on foreign policy could be a scaling back of the extent to which we would need a big military to support a highly intrusive kind of foreign policy. Now, the flip side of that is that it appears that MAGA is hawkish about China. Peter Hegseth, this guy who he's put up for the Department of Defense, is a hawk on China. And so if we decide that we're going to pull back in Europe, but we're going to start expending enormous amounts of money on our military because of a Cold War with China, then that lemonade doesn't get made, okay? The other lemon side of this is the notion that we're going to create a partisan military through this notion of purging all the generals who appear to be disloyal from the military and create a partisan military that might get utilized in ways that has not been the case in the past with respect to our country. So, but I do see the potential for lemonade in a variety of areas. And so I think we should keep our eyes open to that when and if this new government breaks the mold, it might break the mold in some good ways along with some troublesome ways.
So let me then ask you, because when you talk about K Street and you talk about the pharmaceutical people who really have been able to, a couple of the things that Joe Biden's presidency did that was, you know, very important was, you know, lower the cost on prescription drugs. That was a major battle, a major fight that he was able to, kind of make some adjustments to that people had tried to many times before, but he was able to do that.
They took on Big Pharma to some extent, but I mean, RFK Jr., who appears to be in many respects, or some respects at least, sort of a crackpot, but his notion of attacking chronic illness as a major focus is a very positive one in my mind. So that, because chronic illness is the reason why we have such expensive, insulin wouldn't be such a big problem if we didn't have such a large amount of type 2 diabetes, which is a chronic illness that might be avoidable if you can avoid obesity. The notion that we might shift a focus in the direction of solving for chronic illness is not troublesome to me. Now, what else happens under the Kennedy watch, I think we have to be watchful about. But, you know, there's some lemonade in that potentially. as well as obviously his lack of concern about what Big Pharma thinks, because Big Pharma is has been one of the entities in this country that has profited a great deal from chronic illness, because there's nothing better than someone who lives a long time with a chronic illness and can take lots of medication during their lifetime. And Big Pharma, this is not an unnoticed phenomena for Big Pharma, because much of the advertising they do and much of the research they do is designed to deal with chronic illness.
You know, Sandy, I would say that for a long time, I have been frustrated with the fact that we have a Food and Drug Administration that seems to be powerless to stop corporations from, you know, doing the types of things that they do and selling things on the market to have a major impact on the health of the American people. And I've never thought that it made any sense whatsoever that they could put things in the food that we know causes
food.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is another thing that he's so, I mean, there's potential lemonade in that.
I don't disagree with that.
In some of what he's doing there, and we'll just have to be watchful about what else comes with it. There's potential lemonade in a foreign policy that would allow us to spend less on defense. And then the question is, how is it implemented and what are the devils in the details? And there's some devil in those details. But I'm just saying, personally, I have my eyes open to the prospect that there might be some good things to come out of some changes in Washington. I'm just worried that I don't want us to break what isn't broken. And there's definitely a risk of that.
Yeah, but he's going to attempt to deal with those things. But the process and the systems that have been in place all this time are still there. They're not going to knuckle under because Robert F. Kennedy and Donald Trump come in.
Well, no, that's right. There's that lobby exists,
yeah.
and the U.S. Senate exists,
right.
And the U.S. Senate is the place that has the greatest vested interest in, for instance, where military bases are located and how much is spent in each state for military expenditures. They're the ones who listen to the lobbyists from K Street who come to the knock on their door and tell them about how much money they can give to their campaigns, for instance. And so, yeah, there's all of this is there in Washington. And what I don't want to break are the safeguards in our government that permit us to be confident that there's more devil in the details, okay?
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I've been on hold since you gentlemen spoke of women. Kind of the way Mark Cuban did, because they must not obviously be very smart to vote for Donald Trump. Well,
we didn't actually we didn't say that. And so, you know, you can create a straw man and then argue about it, but we didn't say that at all. We just said we didn't think that America appeared to be ready to elect a woman and that she was, in fact, an unintelligent person for all intents and purposes, but we didn't accuse anyone of not being smart who voted for someone else.
No,
so, I mean, this is one of the problems, CJ. If we want to have a conversation, don't have it with the straw man. Let's talk about what we were saying and what we were talking about.
You said it was based on race and gender, that she's not, that we're not ready. And it couldn't be that she was just a pitiful candidate that was propped up by $1 billion and still went under debt for $20 million, paying Beyonce.
Hey, CJ, do you have any additional information? I mean, you every day it's the same old tired refrain. Let me say to you, to say that she was a pitiful candidate is absolutely untrue. If she was such a pitiful candidate, why was Donald Trump afraid to debate her again?
Because it was 3-on-1 and America saw that.
That's ridiculous,
well,
man.
CJ.
And actually,
that's a ridiculous statement, but we expect it from you now.
She did lose. She didn't lose by a substantial amount. It was a tight race. And it was a sweeping race in terms of the breadth of the victory, but it was a close race She didn't lose profoundly. She didn't do worse in every county in the country, as I think possibly you had mentioned in an earlier call. And so, you know, there's some trends here. Donald Trump won, and there's no argument here. We aren't either ourselves or anyone calling in suggesting that she was cheated out of a victory, but we are trying to talk about what it is that might have failed her in the campaign, and I do think that the United States apparently doesn't seem to be ready to elect a woman. Okay, and so you know, and that doesn't mean that she didn't get elected because she was a woman. I just happen to think that some of the things that people have been willing to say about her suggest that they're willing to adopt those positions because she was a woman. You suggest that she was not an intelligent person and that was a pathetic candidate. But, you know, I don't know what evidence you have of, for instance, her intelligence.
And to say there's not misogyny and racism in this nation is 100% not true. You know, it doesn't matter whether you say it or not. That's not factual. Go ahead.
Play it back, because you said, Sandy, they're not ready because of race and
gender. Hey, CJ.
Well,
CJ.
Only one party.
CJ, there's, what do you mean there's only one party? You know, are you saying that racism and misogyny doesn't exist in the Republican Party?
Well, and actually, you can play it back, because I know I didn't say
it.
It doesn't matter, CJ, but
yeah.
Hey, because I know I didn't say it, because that isn't what I think, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't think that was the reason. I think it's evidence that, however, that those factors exist.
No question. And because CJ says they don't, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, it's not a debate. So thanks for the call.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, in the end, my continued problem with the CJs of the world and the people who continue to say she wasn't very smart. She ran a terrible race. She had 3 months. Donald Trump was running for 5 years. And so still just barely got through by the skin of his teeth. You know, did the Republicans win? Yes. Nobody's arguing that. Now, Sandy, they're going to govern. They get the chance to govern. And now the shoe's on the other foot. And now every move that they make, because it was such a tight race, Sandy, he doesn't have a mandate. People are going to challenge what it is they're doing.
Well, I do think this. I think that the selection of the majority leader in the Senate suggests that the Senate does have some independence because it wasn't Trump's candidate that was selected. It was someone who he didn't favor necessarily. I think the Senate will exercise some of its own will. We do have three arms of our government, and whereas all of them lean in the direction of Republican at this point, I think there will be an independent view of things.
So, Sandy, what I want to focus on in the next segment is something that is really clearly important to all of our listeners and the impact of what happens in their lives, and that's that Donald Trump is going to attempt to kind of destroy the world economy. And
news, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
To anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means. It means to be living.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandwich and Sandy. Donald Trump is looking to alter the global economy and benefit the United States more than any other nation. You know, there are people who probably say, "Yeah, I agree with that. I think that we should be focusing solely on that." But you say there's some inherent danger in it.
Well, there is. First of all, the world economy is as it is right now, which is quite global, and there's lots of trade, lots of international trade, so that China's our biggest trading partner by a lot. And a huge percentage of things that we purchase and consume in the United States are either produced in China or parts that are included in what we purchase are produced in China. And those Chinese goods compete with American goods, but that's one of the reasons why the American goods are priced as they are. If we put a tariff on Chinese goods, then all of the prices for those Chinese goods will go up because it's the importer, it's the American company that imports the good that pays the tariff. It isn't paid by China. It isn't paid by the Chinese company. And unless the importer can talk the Chinese company into reducing the price of their good by enough to pay the tariff, the price of the product in the United States will go up. And it's not just the price of the product produced in China that goes up, but all of the American produced products that compete with it will go up as well. If we put tariffs on everything that comes from all other parts of the world across the board, that phenomena will occur with all of those goods produced in other countries. A huge percentage, a much bigger percentage than just the Chinese goods are that we consume in the United States have parts or all of them are produced in foreign countries. When Donald Trump put tariffs on Chinese goods this last time around, it did not improve our balance of payments with China. So it didn't work. Our overall balance of payments stayed about the same. Many of the products that were produced in China we were importing began to be produced in India or Vietnam or elsewhere. It didn't improve our balance of payments. If we put tariffs on everything, then our balance of payments might improve, but the price for goods to American consumers will go up. It will be inflationary, number one. Number two, the world economy will suffer. Number three, if we really balkanize the country and create a protectionist world economy where every country has tariffs and every country tries to be onto itself as much as possible, the financial industry of the United States, which is one of the primary drivers of our leadership position in the world economy, will suffer because no longer will everyone be holding U.S. dollars, okay? They'll be trading with one another and not with us. They won't need the U.S. financial industry like they currently need it because they're all holding so much in the way of U.S. dollars. Balkanizing the world could also reduce the grip of U.S. currency as being the world reserve currency. It's no longer necessary that it be that, the extent to which we pull in our horns and trade less with all the rest of the world. And when the financial world is no longer centered in New York, as it is today, that will have a significant detrimental effect on the economy. So we can expect, number one, a shrinking rate of growth in the GDP from this. We can expect inflation from this. We can expect a reduction in the importance of the dollar. We can expect that the U.S. financial community will suffer in the long run. So, and the notion that it will necessarily result in a robust manufacturing enterprise in the United States, it didn't do that during the first Trump term. And I'm not at all confident that it will do that in the second go-round, because what it's really much more likely to foster is a recession. And a recession is measured by a loss of jobs quarter upon quarter, okay? A reduction in GDP quarter upon quarter. And that's what I think is the most likely outcome. And maybe that's the reason why Elon Musk was warning the country in the weeks before the election that the middle class should expect some hardships in the initial period of the Trump administration, because there will be hardships from these policies. I'm just not sure that the long term has an upside to offset these hardships that the middle class will suffer.
You know, Sandy, when you, I don't think that the middle class itself has any concept at all that this is coming. This is pretty intense and involved information that you're talking about. You know, people are living their lives. They're clearly not thinking we're heading back to a place that, you know, we're trying to crawl us, make our way out of. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Sandy, we'll continue this. And people just need to, what we were trying to do more than anything else is to get them to think, you know, the election is over. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens next?
Yeah.
You got to make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.